So we've got Rhiannon in the studio, and she has got a pile of books and things to do. So good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Yeah. So what have we got today that we were going to talk about? It was summary of kids' things. We're going to talk about books we liked.
Yeah, I think mainly we were looking at the books that we thought were the best books of 2014.
How did the kids' things go in the holidays?
Really well, yes. We had very successful events over the holidays, and we had a great program. We finished with a fabulous party in the library with a magician over from the North Shore, who was really funny and very, very clever with his tricks. So that was a great finish for the program.
Oh, good. I always have trouble with the word magician. I always try to say musician.
Oh, okay.
Same as when I was a kid, I couldn't say soldiers. I used to say shoulders.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's funny the way language works.
And
like
when
that.
You had a stutter, it was never very good. And my brother's name was Trevor, and I used to call him Sheba.
Oh, okay.
It's really interesting, though. I was talking to a little five-year-old, and he's got a name for his sister, which isn't like her her real name.
Yeah.
And they've ended up calling her that.
Yes, it happens like that, doesn't it?
One of my nieces used to call handkerchiefs hankerisses. And we used to do that, and I did it once to somebody, and they looked at me like I was a little bit strange. But I think you do. You sort of follow what the kids.
My dad had a boss who used to say, instead of saying utter chaos, he used to say utter choss.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I think everybody plays around with language a little bit.
Yeah, I used to have a boss that used to get things really mixed up. Like water off a pig's back.
Yeah.
And
hoisted
by your own pretards. And you used to have not to laugh.
It's tricky.
Yeah. So what have we got today? Kick off and we'll see where we're going.
Sure. Well, we said we were going to talk about best books of 2014.
Yep.
And there's a couple of different ways I could have approached this, but I decided to talk about the ones that were my favourites for 2014. On the website of the Auckland Libraries, if you're interested in what were the most popular books in the library, on the website you can go and look at the best books or the most popular books, and there's a list of the top 10 in each of the categories, which is always quite fascinating to take a look at.
50 Shades of Grey top.
Yeah, I think that's pretty far up there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so for me, very personal journey, I thought it would also be nice not to just talk about books for adults, but to look at the full range. So I've got adult books and teen books and junior books, and I want to finish with a really cool picture book. So.
Oh, good. And I bought some books in
your
liked.
Favorites? Okay.
And one that I'm reading now that I cannot help but talk about.
Oh, good. Yay.
It's one that I'm going to ration to myself.
Oh,
I'm only going to
don't want to finish it too fast.
No, I don't want to finish it too fast.
Yeah, those are always the best ones, the ones you don't want to finish. So first of all, I thought I really wanted to mention we had really successful book launches in 2014, and I just wanted to remind people of these books, which are still available for sale on the island. So we had the book launch for Centuries of the Heart, which is six Waiheke writers: Ingrid Scott, Nora West, Kayla McKenzie Kopp, Robin Winton, Catherine Napo, and Janet Salas. And they pulled their creative works into a book entitled Centuries of the Heart, which is published by their own Kurora Press. So that's a beautiful book, well worth keeping in mind. And we also had a couple of book launch. Well, we had a book launch of two books by Mike Johnson last year. Very, very well-known New Zealand writer. So I love the title of his novel. It's called Hold My Teeth While I Teach You to Dance.
Yes, I thought that was a wonderful title.
Yes, it is a wonderful title. So that's available through the library and also for sale. If you go on to the La Savia website, you can buy that book. Or, as I said, we do have it in the library as well. And that's about an investigative journalist, Jason Argonaut, who's not content to rest on his laurels and dream of past glories.
Whoa.
And he's a grandfather detective.
Yeah,
quite an interesting concept as well as a fascinating title, so well worth a look.
So where does grandma fit into this? This will be interesting.
I don't know. So anyway, he also launched a book of poetry, To Beatrice, Where We Cross the Line, and that was beautifully produced, really stunning, so very, very much worth a look as well. So that was just to commemorate the book launches that we had at the library.
And that's great for a little island,
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yeah, no, they're
three really
events.
Good launches. And the one, the first one you talked about, there were some of those people there that I didn't realise they wrote.
Exactly.
And suddenly you go,
wow.
Whoa.
Yes.
You know, where did that come from?
It's quite a quiet little hobby, isn't it, in some ways, that you're writing away, beavering in the background, and nobody realises you're doing it. So it's lovely to have a book launch like that.
I beaver away in the background and prefer people not to know.
Well, there you go.
Publishing scares me.
Oh, yeah. So then I wanted to move on to my best adult novel, and maybe after that you could talk about one of yours. Okay, so I had to think quite hard about the best adult novel, partly because I'm not getting to do an awful lot of reading at the moment because I'm studying, but also because I've read quite a lot of interesting books for the book club that I run at the library. But the one that really stood out for me when I thought about it hard was The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. Did you come across that
one
at all?
No, I haven't, no.
It's about this lovely man who's very unassuming, very ordinary guy, who gets this letter from an old acquaintance that reveals that she's dying. And he writes in his typical manner a very short, very, not very emotionally involved response. And he goes to post it. But he walks past the postbox and he just keeps going. And in the end, he does this pilgrimage across the whole, from the south to the north of England, to actually visit her at her deathbed. And as he journeys, he meets all these interesting characters, but you also gradually put together the pieces of his life and his relationship with his wife and his friendship with this woman, and you start to understand how he created so many walls so it's absolutely beautifully written. It's by a woman called Rachel Joyce, and his friend was called Queenie, and she's actually brought out a sequel which came out last year, which I haven't had a chance to read yet, but I've been told is absolutely gorgeous as well, and that's called The Love Song of Miss Queenie Hennessy.
Oh, it's a lovely title.
Yes, it's a beautiful title. So those two books I would very highly recommend. I really, really connected with Harold's story and felt that it was beautifully written.
Well, when it comes to the novels, I'm not a great novel reader these days. Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to read non-fiction. But I did try two, and they both were something we talked about months ago now, where there's somebody else writes with that type of style.
Yes, Raymond Chandler?
Yeah, I had two. Yes, Raymond Chandler one.
Yeah.
It's a little bit sexist.
Right. Yes, it was of its time,
but
wasn't it?
Of its time. It was a really well written. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what it was called.
I can't remember the title either. Black, do you remember talking about it?
He actually doesn't write under his real name.
No, was that Benjamin Black?
Benjamin Black.
And it's actually John Banville.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And then I read another one, which was Agatha Christie, and it was done in the style of Agatha Christie, and I couldn't finish it.
I remember that. I remember
it was
you
full
saying,
of people, and it was full of junk. I really didn't enjoy it.
No.
But I've read some, and I'm reaching over now because I've got some Benjamin McIntyre, A Spy Amongst Friends.
Ah.
It's about Kim Philby and the Great Betrayal. And John Le Carrier.
Right.
Who is,
The ultimate spy.
Yes,
novel
yes.
Writer.
He wasn't allowed to use his real name, and I just can't think of his real name.
No, I can't
a friend
I've
of mine's got the
that
same
name.
Surname. Mm. And my friend's name's David. Oh, it'll come to me. Kim Philby, he is evil.
Mm.
He is awful. I mean, he utterly betrays these people to their face.
Right.
I mean, he betrays his best friend, Cornwall. That's his name.
Oh, okay.
And he betrays him right to his face. But it's a really good book.
Mm.
It's a spy amongst friends. I got my niece reading it. Mm-hmm. She loved it.
Great.
He's got another one about the D-Day,
mm-hmm.
and that's not quite as gripping.
This one obviously
but
touched
this
the
one
chord
really
for her.
Did. Mm. Oh, it's got my niece reading. Oh, she's got so many of these now.
Great.
She just loves them.
Great.
And it's just interesting because the spies, they are really strange characters.
Mm.
They are often flawed and they are often, flawed would be a really good description.
Yeah.
They are often really strange characters who have hellish lives.
Mm.
Alcohol appears enormously,
mm-hmm.
and they're just quite strange personalities.
Yeah, I mean,
both my niece and I decided we could be spies.
I can imagine, though, that you know, you would probably only attract people who could disconnect from friends and social connections because you have to in that kind of work.
I think you also have to disconnect from yourself a bit,
probably too,
because you're living a lie all the time. I'll come to another one soon.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also about spying.
Okay.
But a whole different idea. Different people.
Uh-huh.
And quite different.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I really enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really, really good book. And my niece, she's a great reader, and she thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, fantastic. Mm. So then I thought I'd do Best New Zealand. Now, of course, from the point of view of book issues, that would absolutely be The Luminaries. But I have to confess to being one of those few people who haven't read that yet because I just, with my studies, I just didn't have the time to dedicate to something quite that huge.
Well, my niece, once again, the great reader in the family,
yeah.
She had a go, gave it up, started again and is determined.
Yes.
And she's been told if she gets halfway,
yep.
She's on a roll.
Absolutely. That's
until
what I've heard
until you get
well.
Halfway,
yep.
You're struggling.
Yeah. And it depends on, you know, it's very different person to person. I mean, I've had people come in and just, you know, go, that's the most amazing book I've ever read. And others who have said that same thing about struggling for the first half of it. But it's one of the books on my list to definitely give time to when I finish my master's, which will be this year, fingers crossed.
Right.
So the one, though, that stood out for me was The Fall of Light by Sarah Lang. And, of course, she came over for our One Island, One Book. And this was a beautifully written book, very insightful, she was a lovely, lovely lady. Was very happy to have had the opportunity to meet her. So The Fall of Light by Sarah Lang, which tells the story of an architect and is also looking at people's interrelations and the whole dimension of fairy tales in novels as well. So that was my favourite New Zealand book last year.
Right.
And then I'll do a non-fiction
yep.
and then we'll...
Go
yep.
for it.
Now, non-fiction, there were so many I could have chosen for this category, but there was this beautiful little gem that sort of came out incredibly quietly just before Christmas and has been selling very well, and it's The Beauty of Waiheke Island, photographs by Graham Matthews and text by Alex Stone.
Yes, it's really good.
It's beautiful, and it's a very unassuming little book, but when you pick it up, it just really has captured the nature of Waiheke, and I really, really liked it a lot, and I bought it for my mother, who had always wanted to live on Waiheke but doesn't, and she found it absolutely delightful as well. So that's just one that came out so quietly and so unassumingly, but is actually really well worth taking a good look at.
Well, for me, this book is My Secret Life in Hut 6.
Ah.
And I just didn't – I just walked in, and I walk into the bookshop, and I just see things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Welsh woman. She's written it with her son. It's Mia and Gethin Russell Jones. And it's about her life at Bletchley Park, where they – according to Churchill, really did win the war because they were able to break the codes.
Decodings, yeah.
And
absolutely.
She, it's really interesting, brought up in a very sheltered environment.
Mm-hmm.
If she hadn't have gone to Bletchley Park, she would have been a missionary.
Mm.
Now, the people that went to Bletchley Park were often quite different people.
Mm-hmm.
They were not your average intellects.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just pick the best and the brightest academically.
Mm-hmm.
They picked people who could were really good at music because of the way the music went. And she, she had a grasp of the German language,
right?
And she had musical training, and they thought that would do it. But she's a most unassuming woman. You know, a mother who she went there and she did all the things, did some wonderful work, and she has to hide it from everybody.
Mm.
And, you know, 50 years afterwards, she decided to tell people.
Mm.
But there are still some people today who don't talk about it.
No.
I saw a lady interviewed on the TV and she would not talk. She said, "No, I can't."
Mm.
She said, "I just won't do it."
Yeah.
But that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's just how she went through a painstaking time, and she just thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's just one woman's experience, and I just followed it on.
Did it transform because of the other her? Book. Did it transform the direction she took in her life? Have you finished
not
it yet? Or?
Yeah, I've finished it. Mm. Not really. I mean, she just really just goes back to her life before.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is sort of just like a little chunk of her life
and
no more.
Mm.
And then she moves on and she never talked about it.
Mm.
No one knew.
Mm-hmm.
50 years she never mentioned it.
Yeah,
so
no, secret
she just kept it hidden. And to really get involved with what she did, and she's so unassuming.
Mm.
She just went and did this amazing stuff, which on its level sounds, you know, is a bit boring what they had to do, but had enormous
impact.
So here's a young woman from the sheltered environment of the valleys from Wales, and one of the people that helped change the direction of the war.
Absolutely.
So they are sort of like a contrast between the spies on this one, and they were really strange characters, and then you've got these people who were pretty ordinary, and even the people that invented, like, supposed to have invented the first computer, almost no credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like no one wants to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really strange. Then, of course, you've got the film out now called Imitation.
Didn't know that.
Imitation, and it's about a man who worked here, but he's had a very sad life.
Right.
Very, very sad. And I bought the book for my niece for Christmas, and she hasn't started it yet.
Right.
But the film is on here. It's called Imitation.
You know,
Imitation File,
I
think, and it talks about Bletchley Park, but this is a much, much sadder one.
Right.
Very sad life the man had, and not accepted by society because things were illegal in those days.
Mm.
And, it's not a good life for him, sadly.
Right, oh dear.
So, but it's still interesting, but I was hoping it would be a lot more about what they did because it fascinates me, but I'm not sure I want to get into the sadness of the whole thing. So I'm debating whether I'll read the book or see the movie.
Mm. Well, it's nice to have that counterpoint to it, to have her story as well.
Oh, hers is just lovely. It was just and they just went along and did it. Like, it was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They just, but they couldn't tell anybody.
No.
And so people were always, and like, the people are always wondering what they were up to.
Mm,
it happened in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was somewhere down Masterton Way, I think. Now, I could be wrong. Might even be the South Island. But they did have a group of women who did that. And they also had some in Auckland that were doing something as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there was a lot of things going on.
That weren't talked about. I mean, a lot of things about the war weren't talked about. And a lot of people who...
Oh, my father went in the First World War. He wouldn't talk.
No, exactly.
I still don't know much about what he did.
Yeah. Right. So moving on from that, I was going to have a look at some books for younger audiences. Although I have to say this next one, which is in sort of the best teen fiction, was also read by a lot of adults as well. And that was Divergent. The movie came out last year. And Divergent was hugely popular with teens and with adults. And a story very much about an oppressive society and these kids attempt to change things. I say
they
kids, though. They
fight
young
back,
adults,
do they?
Of course. They do, yes. And so, obviously, in the ilk of the Hunger Games, but a very different kind of story. And the idea of a society that's been very regimented, that's been divided into categories, and people are put into categories and they're supposed to conform to those categories. And the title Divergent refers to those who actually don't fit any one category. So that's a very interesting read, a concept story, and also very... very much about fighting back against the system.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
that's
highly
very Waiheke, isn't it?
Yeah. And then for junior readers, one I've been recommending widely to young readers is the Spirit Animals series. The first one is called Wildborn. And the beauty of this story is, you know, younger kids fighting to save their world. And they are bonded with spirit animals, which give them specific powers. And they're going on quests to find talismans and to save their world. So that's a really good adventure story for younger readers.
How old would they be?
I'd say probably anyone between 9... even maybe as young as 8, depends on how good a reader they are, really. But from 8 up to about 11, probably, age range for this one.
Oh, that's a good range.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know how much is written of that kind of genre now.
Well,
not having children.
Yes, exactly. There are a lot of books out there, but this one seems to be equally enjoyed by boys and girls, and because it's got male and female characters in it, and it's really actually what I find fascinating about this series is they obviously had a concept. They decided they wanted to churn a book out at least every 6 months. And so they got all of the best children's writers to contribute a book to the series.
Wow.
So they've got all the best-selling children's authors, award-winning children's authors, and each one is writing one book in the series, which gives each book a slightly different flavour and twist, but is carrying on the central same basic story. And that makes it a really interesting series, and it also means that it's growing quite quickly. So a very, very good one.
I've got some people in my family, and they're great series readers.
Mm-hmm. Series are great.
I can't do that. They read these... not science fiction, but not fantasy. I don't know what they're called, but they're usually about doorstop.
Yeah, the epic ones.
And there's about, you know, 6 or 8 of them in the series, and they're going through them.
Yeah.
And you don't know which one they've read and which one they can't to buy. But they seem to really enjoy them. But I've never been one for those kind of books.
I'm not a huge series reader myself either. But the great thing about series reading is that it can, you know, encourage kids to keep reading. So if they find a series they really like, it's wonderful for that.
Well, this is my treasure.
Yep.
It's The Lost Carving. David Easterly. Now, this is an academic who decides not to be an academic.
Right.
And he's going to be a master carver. And he teaches himself how to carve because in Hampton Hall, where there was a fire, there was carving from a guy called Grinling Gibbons. And he decides to do it the way he did it.
Right.
And it is... it's described here as a gripping detective story of experiment and revelation, a vivid account of working in a workshop, and it's like a meditation. Yeah. It is the most beautifully written memoir I have ever read.
Lost cover. I have to look that one up.
It is so beautiful. Mm. I have only read, and I'm going to ration it out.
That's the one you're rationing out. Yes, there we go.
And this one's not going to anybody.
Okay.
It's not coming out of my house.
I'll have to check whether we've got it.
I love this book. I really, really do.
Yeah.
He's written the most beautiful way. It's just lovely. So I read a bit of it, and I had to bring it along today.
Yes.
And that was recommended to me by Anne at the bookshop.
Ah, yes.
And while she was doing it, a man appeared round the corner and said, "That's the best book I've ever read."
Ah, there we go. Fantastic.
I just wanted something. I don't know what I wanted, really. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I walked in and she said, "You've got to read this."
Ah, there you go.
No, she didn't mean that, though.
Yeah.
She meant, "You've got to buy this."
Yeah. Oh, but she obviously
yes,
was
she
right.
Did. Yes. So that's fabulous.
Fantastic. So I just wanted to finish with one for the younger kids.
Yep.
So this was my favorite picture book for last year. And it's called Oi, Frog.
Mm.
And it's a conversation between a cat and a frog about what things each animal has to sit on. Know that old cliched poem of the cat sat on the mat?
Yes.
Well, here we go. This is pretty amazing.
Ah.
And it's called Oi, Frog.
Yep.
And it says, "Oi, Frog, sit on a log," said the cat. "But I don't want to sit on a log," said the frog. "Logs are all knobbly and uncomfortable, and they can give you splinters on your bottom."
Ooh.
"I don't care," said the cat. "You're a frog, so you must sit on a log." And then it goes through this amazing, more and more outrageous and elaborate story of what each animal in the world has to sit on because it rhymes with their name. And we've got things like mules on stools and
Kids love all those
gophers
rhymes.
On sofas, yeah. And lions unfortunately have to sit on irons.
Oh no!
Yeah, exactly.
Lions on irons,
not so comfortable.
Oh.
And the frog keeps fighting back all the way along, and the cat's going, "It's not about being comfortable; it's about doing the right thing."
Oh.
And anyway,
as long as it rhymes with your name.
Yes, exactly. And so it's very, very funny. Beautiful rhymes, very well, very clever, and it's got a pretty funny punchline, which I'm not going to spoil.
I've been rattling my brains to what a lion could sit on other than irons, and
well, exactly.
I'm struggling. Oh, that's lovely. I think
it's
that they
sweet.
Just love. Every so often I get renewed. What would you call it? Faith in life.
Mm.
A friend of mine brought her grandson over here. He's 5.
Yes,
he is so bright.
Oh, lovely,
and he's into everything, knows everything about everything.
Uh-huh.
I told him he could leave home now while he knew everything. But they're amazing what they look at and they pick up, and they love rhymes and doing things. And it just brightened the afternoon up.
Wonderful.
They are so lovely.
Yes.
Mind you, only had him for afternoon, so I don't have him when he's not in that kind of mood.
No, children are wonderful.
Oh, they just brighten your life. And my great-great-niece and nephew, mm-hmm. who live in Australia,
mm-hmm.
are coming over here for a holiday. I'm so excited because I have so much fun with them.
Mm-hmm.
They are amazing kids.
And how old are they?
Gosh, they'd be 8 and 7, 8. Might be going on for 8, Ethan. Girl would be 10. She's just done form 1, so
yeah,
an hour she'd be about 10 or 11. She's got all her uniform and all.
I know. My daughter started this week, just gone.
They're getting so grown up. But they have funny starting times at their school. It's so big.
Oh, right.
It's on the Gold Coast.
Uh-huh.
And it's so big, they have different starting times.
Oh, wow.
Like they start at 7:30 and finish just after lunchtime.
That's
because
of the
heat. Session. No, well, it's shockingly hot.
Yeah.
But I tell you what I did see. Mm. I saw an adult storybook.
Ah.
It was called I Learned All I Know About Love from Golden Books.
Ah.
Now, you know the Golden Books?
Yes, I do remember the Golden Books.
Well, it's got the same binding.
Yes.
That
very familiar.
Yellow, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all got the same pictures as Golden Books do.
Yes, but
I didn't look at it. I didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
But it, all I learned about love, I learned from Golden Books.
There we go.
And I went home and I found I've got two Golden Books at home still.
Ah.
One called Two Little Miners.
Yeah.
Who lived together ahead of their time.
Uh-huh.
And then there was one called Dan the Bandage Man. And
yes,
it had a plaster in the back.
Yes.
And you could put it on your knee when you fell over.
Sweet.
So that was interesting. Mm. I've still got those. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just discovered my Rupert books too.
Which is
quite nice. I love
Rupert. He was great.
I know someone's got stacks of them.
Uh-huh.
I go around his house and I love them.
I think Winnie the Pooh would stand out for me as the children's book. My dad absolutely loved Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. I don't think I really. Yeah. I don't think I probably know Winnie the Pooh better when I was an adult than I was, but Rupert Bear was my thing. Have you been to see Paddington Bear?
Not yet.
Are you going?
I was going to go.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not too sure because there were some interesting things in the news about the author being not sure about what they'd done with his book.
Oh, really?
So I don't know. I'm interested to see what the movie's like.
Oh, he wasn't happy with?
I just heard a rumour. I'm not entirely sure. But, you know, it's always a very tricky thing, that conversion from book to screen, and sometimes they stay very, very true to the book and sometimes they change it quite a lot. So I think there must be a lot of trepidation for the author at any time that their book is being changed.
Yeah, and I just wonder how much say you've got once you hand it over.
It probably depends a lot on your contract and everything. So, I can imagine
do my book as a Hollywood
yes.
block. Buster, I'll have total control.
Yeah, there you go.
It's going to be about Waiheke. It's going to be total control.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
All right.
So we're back to the second Saturday in the month.
Yes.
Coming in March.
Yep, that's right.
Doesn't it make time go fast when you think about it
Hang on,
that?
I think we're talking February.
February, sorry, yep, February.
No, time is going fast, but not quite that fast.
Not quite that fast.
Yeah, yeah.
You're absolutely right. So cool. It's the second Saturday in February. I know what it is. I was looking up to see when the beach races was on, and I've got that in my head.
Yes, that's the 22nd of February.
And I've sort of
jumped ahead.
I've jumped ahead.
Yeah, I do things like that.
So we'll do that, and we'll work out some kind of topic. Well, thank you very much for putting the effort for those books.
Thank you.
Anybody wants to know more about those, they can always just pop up and speak to you.
Absolutely.
If you're there most days.
Yeah, and most of the others will know.
Yeah, and they know them. And
It's
a great, great service there to get the libraries. I've got to take some books back and get some more.
Yes.
I've discovered now Di taught me how to do the magazines.
Ah.
Oh, yes. May never buy a magazine again.
There you go.
Well, it's just amazing.
Yes. The Zinio you're talking about.
No.
No.
Yeah, but the other one where you can just put in, like, Country Life and then go and,
and order
it down
online. Absolutely.
And order it online.
Yeah, no, that's really good.
And that's amazing.
Yep.
That's incredible. Mm. And I did some and I got them really quickly.
Yep.
As usual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much for coming in. And we'll see you on the second Saturday in February.
Yep.
And we'll have a topic.
Absolutely.
And we will talk. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
It's interesting to talk about the books. And one of these days I should get some novels and read them. But I don't know. I'm just gone off them.
Yeah.
Okay.